السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: كل نفس ذائقة الموت. وقال تبارك وتعالى: أينما تكونوا يدرككم الموت ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت، والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواه وتمنى على الله. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم: صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. The most beloved elders, brothers, ulama ikram, hafaz, mashallah, many people in this audience who are listening. There are many bayanat and talk that you listen to in this particular masjid. Alhamdulillah, much very, very fortunate to have the opportunity of benefiting from great mashayikh. So for somebody like me to stand in front of you and to share and to talk and to give advices is really not befitting me. Nevertheless, I'll just take the opportunity of some discussion rather than just a bayan, some of the lessons and some of the nasiha, some of the advices that we have heard from our mashayikh, etc., and discuss it for this particular program today. With no means ever with the intention that benefiting or sharing something which other mashayikh have much more experience with regards to. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us all ability, that whichever mashayikh we have, that we learn to value and appreciate them. You know, in our travels in various parts of the world, we tend to take for granted many of the facilities and opportunities we have in this particular country. Especially when I'm focusing more on the Islamic environment point of view. Even if you go to so-called Arab countries or Islamic countries, they do not have opportunities and facilities and exposure and the amount that we have in our particular environment. If you look at just Durban, if you have to contextualize it like that and bring, and just focus on our situation that we have here in this particular masjid, if you look at it, alhamdulillah, we have opportunity every week. There's a Jummah Bayan that takes place and different mashayikh come. And then during the week, there's programs that takes place. And then alhamdulillah, the facilities that are here for our performance of salah, excellent facilities for wudu, for going to the toilet. These are things sometimes we take for granted. When we travel to different parts of the world, you really have to appreciate what we have. Then if you look at, for example, the madrasas that we have, if you want to make your child a hafiz of Quran, if you just take that simple example, we take it for granted. There's a madrasa down the road on the left, there's somewhere madrasa up, north, south, everywhere there's a madrasa, and you got a vast opportunity, and wherever you want, you can choose which one you have. For your child to go to school, to get Islamic education, or to get education like that in a good environment, you got lots of opportunities. If he wants to become an alim and go to Darul Uloom, ample opportunities available. If he wants to go to university, ample opportunities available. I'm just focusing on that environment, Islamic education, etc. How much we have. Sometimes we overlook it, and we become have an attitude of complaining, or maybe we take everything so much for granted that we really don't appreciate it. When you travel other parts of the world, if you just take one country, for example, not mention name, if you are not a resident of that particular country, if you don't have a citizenship of that country, then there's no real environment for you, for your child to take up circular, to further his education. He has to maybe go abroad. And there are certain schools that have been restricted only for the citizens of that particular country. If you're not that nationality, then you're not allowed to study in that school. You need to go a special type of school. So imagine if we have to live in that type of environment. Then for hifz or for madrasas, it's very restricted, limited opportunities available. So what I'm saying as an opening statement, let us appreciate and value the great amount of opportunities that we have as Muslims. We are minority. In South Africa, we are minority. We're not majority of the population. But we tend to think that whatever we have, we deserve it, firstly, and then we want to take it for granted. It's a great, firstly, I understand, it's a great bounty and blessing of Allah. It is only through the kindness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is giving us all these opportunities. And number two, let us appreciate it. An appreciation of these ni'mats, whether it's a masjid, it's a case of a masjid, we should try and keep it abad. We should try and maximize the benefits and the purpose that the masjid is created for. You know, one is we come for salah to the masjid. Salah is only one of the actions of a masjid. Yes, we come to the masjid to perform salah. That is only the ibadat part of the masjid. Yes, other than that, we'll also have halakat of dhikr that takes place. Alhamdulillah, it's excellent. But the masjid in the time, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also had other amal. There was learning and teaching that used to take place in the masjid. Ta'alim and ta'allum. Ibadat and dhikr used to take place in the masjid. Khidmat used to take place. You know, when those of us go to Medina, mashallah, you'll find there is the suffa there. In Medina Munawwara, there's a place which is known as the suffa. What is the suffa? We know, we see the first madrasa, or the masjid for the madrasa for the poor people, in the masjid. If you look at, there's a pillar there which is known as Ustawana. There's different pillars in the, what you call, Riyadul Jannah. And many of us have been there many times. But did you ever ponder that, yes, we just go there for the barakah. And alhamdulillah, there's great ajr and sawab and reward for us going there. To Madina Munawwara, Ziyarah of Rasulullah, etc. But maybe sometimes we need to reflect that how can we make our masjid, which we spend most of our time in our locality, make it like a masjid that was a masjid in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we had this pillar you'll find in Riyadul Jannah, which is called Ustawana Wufud. For example, Ustawana Wufud means delegations. That means his delegations used to come to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to receive them there, and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to discuss, talk to them, answer their questions, etc. So there was learning and teaching that used to be taking place in the masjid. And therefore we do not expect somebody else to keep our masjids, what we use the term abad. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. That those who have iman, that means you and I, we are responsible for keeping our masjids abad. You know, we are just about a month. Ramadan has passed. Shawwal has commenced, and Shawwal tomorrow, if the moon is sighted, Shawwal will also be finished. Zulqada and then Zulhijjah. So look at, think about it now. Ramadan, alhamdulillah, the environment existed, and alhamdulillah, the masjids, the i'tikaf was taking place. Everybody, there was great amount of enthusiasm, and there was great amount of nur, alhamdulillah, and the barakat of Ramadan. If those who experience, and when we see Ramadan, we automatically know it's Ramadan. And when the moon of Eid is sighted, we know now Ramadan is finished. The barakat is gone. Ramadan has a special khubi and nur and warat and rahmat. But the challenge for us is, like now, it's like a person who has now kindled this candle of his. Right? You know, he has lit this candle, and the spiritual candle of his in his heart is lit up. He's connected. Like a battery now, we have connected the charger. The battery is full. Then the challenge for us is now how to keep that spiritual light alive now. How to destroy it. Otherwise we'll be caught up in our environments and everything. And that light will get extinguished. That light, the spiritual light that we have is going to get extinguished. So therefore, like how you have that cell phone, the battery will die. Because of every, you're going to be using it, so the battery will die. So the clever, intelligent person, what he does, he takes the phone and he plugs it every day or every 2 days, depending on what phone he has. Connect it back to the charger so that the battery can get recharged and can continue using it. So like that, now in the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, most of us, all of us, we had the spiritual connection and bondage with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So taking a lesson from that cell phone which we recharge, we have to continuously recharge our spiritual batteries to maintain that momentum and the spirit of the month of Ramadan. And that is why we're talking about this a'mal of the masjid. One of the most effective way is to keep our hearts and our bodies and all our lives linked to the masjid, with the amal of the masjid, not just for salah. Ta'lim and ta'allum, learning and teaching. We should create an environment of learning and teaching in our masjids, of khidmat. When somebody has some need, etc., the masjid should have become a center of learning and teaching. So we make dua, Allah subhanahu give us opportunities of making our masjids like the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And very importantly, we make dua, Allah gives us the ability to maintain, you know, to have that istiqama, that the month of Ramadan is completed now, but how we can continue and maintain that spirit of the month of Ramadan throughout the year. It is a definite challenge. It is no easy task. But we should try and persevere And that's how, inshallah, continuously ta'alluq and connection with our masjid and the amal of the masjid, the mashayikh, and as we said, we have opportunities here. We will try and maximize by attending all these programs and linking ourselves with the ulama, inshallah, and for guidance. This week has been a very, I know, different week from other weeks of the year. And that's what I'm going to focus a little about today. The reason is because there have been so much of, I'm sure most of you would have heard, how many janazas there have been yesterday. I think alone there may have been 5 or 6 janazas. I'm just talking about our masjid here in our city, Durban. And during the course of this week, there were people who have passed away, some because of old age, some people because of other reasons, sicknesses. And others have passed away due to very traumatic, very unfortunate circumstances. Somebody drowned, somebody has been murdered, and young people have passed on. And unfortunately, again, nowadays, we get the messages of people passing away, and we have become like immune to it. Before, if somebody passed away, it was like a big thing. It had an impact on your life. And if people began to think and reflect, hey, somebody passed away, let's see how we can attend to janazah and maybe change something in his dimension of his life, he realized. But nowadays, so many of these things are happening, we tend to become immune. Oh, just another janazah that has taken place. Whereas the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in the hadith that أَكْثِرُ ذِكْرَ هَذِمِ اللَّزَاتِ الْمَوْتِ, that we should continuously remind of ourselves about that which is going to cut off and sever all our enjoyments and all our luxuries and comforts, and that is death. Continuously reminding ourselves about the reality of death is actually going to be a means of us coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reminder of death is the number of janazas that we are witnessing during just this week itself. And sometimes we get so carried away with our life, everyday life, that we think we're still young. I'm still 25, I'm still 30. Then we need to ask ourselves that question, that those people that passed away just during this week, didn't they also have aspirations, and didn't they think also that I'm still young and I still have long to live? But it is only Allah who knows the time of our death. That is why a very important lesson which I read, that is, there was this Sheikh Abdul Rahman, by the name of Sheikh Abdul Rahman, I think he was known as Sheikh Abdul Rahman Ni'am. So in his time, there was this person who said that, you know what, I need to know what action can I do that will be really beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will be a very good action I can continuously do, I can persist and be consistent on. So he thought to himself, you know what, in this time and age there are many mashayikh around. So let me go and ask them a question, and I will take whatever answers they give me, the best of that, and bring it in my life. So the question he had was, he's going to ask his different mashayikh, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to make it such that you know, that he give you the information that you have one more day to live, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just hypothetically had to give you that information that you have one day to live, 24 hours you have to live, what action would you do in your life? What would you do in your life? So this person went to the different mashayikh and the different people. But when he reached the Sheikh Abdul Rahman, and he asked him that, you know what, if hypothetically you had one day to live, what would you do in your life? And maybe we can use the opportunity of thinking ourselves as well. If you had for sure a certainty, nobody knows when we're going to die, but just hypothetically, we just assume, if you know that one day to live, what would you do in your life? Think about it, answer the questions to yourselves. But this Sheikh, he responded and he said, I won't change nothing in my life. So he was astonished, he was fascinated. How come? Because normally somebody would have said, no, you know, I would read so much zakat of salah, and I would give so much of charity, or whatever different answers he may have received. He said, I wouldn't change anything in my life. He said, how come? He said, because every day, when I start my day, I draw up my timetable. And my timetable is drawn in such a manner, I have this frame of mind, that this is my last day. This is my last day of my life. I don't know if I'm going to live. So I really pack up my day in such a way and plan my day in such a way as though it is my last day. So every day I'm having the same frame of mind. And indeed, this is something we need to bring in our lives. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned that Rasulullah took hold of him, held him by his shoulders. أَخَذَهُ بِمَنْكِبَيْهِ. Rasulullah held him by his shoulders. And in a very loving way, He said to him, sometimes we don't like to hear this, but he said to him, كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَابِرُ السَّبِيلِ. That, oh, Abdullah bin Umar, live in this world as though you are a passerby or a traveler. كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ. Like you are a passerby or a traveler. Live in this world as though you are coming in this world as a transition. You know, you're just passing through a phase. Transit lounge. You know, no matter how much of comforts we enjoy, as Mufti Sahib mentioned yesterday as well, when we go into an airport, even if you have your diner's card or whatever first class card or priority pass, and you go into that lounge and you're enjoying yourself in that lounge, but you know that lounge is just a temporary transit place that you're going to be. Your destination is somewhere else. Nobody is going to be in that lounge permanently. It's just temporary. No matter how much comfort is there, he's not going to be staying there forever. So like that, the day we came in this world is like we all were given this block of ice. Think of this as an example. We all are given this block of ice, and somebody's block is bigger and somebody's block is smaller. But every second that passes by, that block of ice is slowly, slowly melting away. Like the Urdu poem, it says, Ho raha hai umar misle baraf kam. Every second, every minute second of your life, you're sitting here now, that block of ice that you were given of life, that is slowly, slowly, slowly decreasing. And as I said, somebody got a small block, somebody got a big block, only Allah knows best. So that is how we should be living our life in this world, that understand every breath that we're taking in, it is our capital life that Allah has given us. Number of breaths that we're supposed to be taking has decreased. One more, and another one more, and another one more. Kun fi dunya, live in your life in this world, like you're just passing by. And then Abdullah bin Umar used to say, he says, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ الْمَسَعَ وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ الصَّبَعَ. That when you are experiencing the morning, when it's morning time, don't even wait for the evening. Now that is the level of what he is promoting. That is the level of advice he is giving. Now think about it in retrospect, myself included. He is talking about when in the morning, don't think about what's going to happen in the evening. Or when it's the evening, don't wait even for the morning. You don't know. Think that that's the last day you're going to go. And again, retrospect, we are planning when we 55 years old or 65 years old and my investment is going to mature and this is how much I'm going to get tax-free to take and that's how much more I'm going to collect and this is how we're going to do. Planning, alhamdulillah, this world is a world of asbab. Darul asbab. We adopt the means. We should tie our camel and put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the reality of the situation is something that is only means. We should not be carried away so much by the means than preparing of our means that we forget our real objective and our real goal, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us. Because the reality is, when we all going to leave this world, three things are going to accompany the janaza. And that's why the poet says, إِذَا حَمَلْتَ إِلَى الْقَبْرِ جَنَازَةً إِذَا حَمَلْتَ إِلَى الْقَبْرِ جَنَازَةً فَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّكَ مِنْ بَعْدِهَا مَحْمُولٌ. Whenever you carry a janaza, remember today it is his you are carrying, tomorrow somebody is going to carry yours. When you receive an SMS, or you see on the notice board there, the masjid so-and-so has passed away, janaza leaving, today you are reading somebody else's. We should seize that opportunity and thinking that tomorrow somebody is going to get my SMS with my name there. Somebody is reading the message about my name over there. So therefore, that is, when we die, these are three things, your family, your wealth, and your amal, they accompany you. They will be with you. MashaAllah, when you go to a house where janaza is, all the people are there, the uncles and the aunts, and again, just drifting a little bit, it's a sad reality nowadays that we find previously, people used to meet on various occasions. You know, every now and again, the uncles and the aunts and the brothers and all of that, they used to meet. There used to be maybe sometime homes used to have a central home. There was a senior figure present. Everybody used to meet and the cousins and everybody used to meet. Alhamdulillah, everybody knew everybody. But nowadays, people are only meeting when somebody dies. Then you say, oh, my cousin, I'm seeing you after so long. My uncle, I never see him. Now when somebody died, you needed an excuse of somebody dying in order for you to meet your uncle. That's the reality. Think about it. So we should change that mindset. Have life is very short. Should try and maintain relationships with each another as often as possible. Myself, I'm also guilty, but we should all, inshallah, this idea, as I said, is to discuss. We should try and keep up and maintain relations as often as much as possible. So coming back, he says, those three things will accompany you. Your family, they will be there. They will even accompany the janazah. They'll come with you right to the qabristan. But they will not go into that grave. If you look at the second one, which is your wealth, no matter how much of money you have accrued, no matter what type of clothes and branded clothing and items you have, no matter how many buildings and investments offshore or local, whatever investments and whatever you have, maybe they'll bring it, somebody can bring it and put it there in the janazah as well. But when you go into the grave, it's not going to be there anymore with you. It is only the third one, which is our a'mal, which is really going to accompany you even when you're in the grave and on that onward journey forever and ever and ever and ever. So therefore, we should always try and accrue and bring into our lives much more of that which is going to last forever and ever and ever. That should be our primary focus. That should always be our goal and objective. How I can get more of that item which is going to be remain with me forever and ever and ever. This is even a practical thing in our world. If I have to offer you item A, has a shelf life 2 days, and I have to offer you another item, it will last entire life guarantee. Which one will you take? You'll take the one that has a longer guarantee. So therefore, when we are faced with a predicament in a situation where we have to compromise, and sometimes we have to abandon and leave out that which is going to last forever, think about it. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَّرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. We should not be preferring that which is temporary and going to terminate over that which is forever and ever and ever. And that should be our primary guiding, deciding factor in whatever we do in our lives, in helping us to making decisions in all aspects of our lives. Also, remember, when you talk about this aspect of death, sometimes we tend to, we don't want to talk about it. And Prophet ﷺ has actually advised us the contrary. We should speak and remind ourselves more about that. In fact, he says, "Mutu qabla an tamutu, wa hasibu qabla an tuhasabu." Some to this effect, that we should die before your actual death. And you should take account of yourself before the time of your account will be taken from you. The ulama have given different explanation, but one explanation they give, he says you should think every day of our lives, what they call is make a muraqabah. You sit down and reflect and think about it, that as though now if I have to die on this spot. And it happens, how many of these incidents happen? All of a sudden, recently also we went to some place, and this person went out for, we heard he just went for a holiday. Now he didn't know, holiday is being an innocent. And there he drowned, the boat capsized, the man drowned, another incident also previously. Now think about it, somebody is now going to be going back to that person's house, because life has to carry on. And they're going to be opening his house door, if they don't have the keys they're going to break the door, because they need to go into his house. Somebody is going to take his computer, somebody will take his cell phone, somebody will be going into his cupboard and his room. Now think about it, in our situation, are we living our lives in such a way that anybody can come into my house at any time, whether it's my mother or my father or my brother, because in this instance, either one of those relatives are going to go to that person's house who passed away, and they're going to be now taking and looking what he has, they're going to open his drawers because they need to clean it out, check what is happening. So are we living our lives with that frame of mind, that if I have to go now, somebody is going to come and check my cell phone? Or we're living our lives that nobody must see, even your wife, you got this, now the new cell phone, you need a thumbprint, so you know, it's very so secret, nobody must see what's on that cell phone. And that computer also, now you have heavy passwords, not even your wife, nobody must know what's there. Somebody will really be doing it when we leave this world, and they'll be able to see how you're using, what sites we have been going through. And you know these WhatsApp messages that we send, sometimes we think we're just sending it to somebody innocently, maybe we have some girlfriend or boyfriend, and you're sending it to them, nobody knows. Every message that is sent, somebody is reading that. But we as Muslims should always be governed by the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always aware. So that's why he says, mutu qabla an tamutu, think and reflect about this. We should be actually thinking like a death before we have our actual death. And live our lives in that manner, make a muraqabah. That will actually be a means of bringing us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keeping us on track. And it says, hasibu qabla an tuhasibu, take stock of your lives. Before a day will come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take accountability from you, that I gave you this wealth, I gave you this family, and I gave you everything. How did you use it? What did you do with it? The day is going to come. How are we going to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we have good answers to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is a type of muraqabah and a type of thought we should be reflecting upon every day. And before I conclude, we make dua Allah give us the ability of putting into practice, understanding what has been said, giving us the reality. But just to before I conclude, I also want to mention one, two points about the aspect of controlling our anger. And the reason for that is because we find many incidents that take place is based on the aspect of us, it's not a bayan altogether, but just on the 1 or 2 minutes, is we find many incidents that happen every day in our lives is because of us not controlling our anger. We react in situations when we're angry, and the regret that we have for the rest of your life, you cannot fix it up. One sahabi came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "The Prophet, give me some advice." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded and said to him, "La taghdab," don't get angry, or maintain control, exercise control your anger. The quality of anger is natural in all of us. It's there. But the test and the important thing for us is to be able to control it. He said, give me some more advice. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't get angry. Control your anger. And like that, the Prophet ﷺ repeated the same advice to him over and over again. Maintain and control your anger. And sometimes, even if the other party is wrong 100%, and you are 100% right, it's a very important lesson for us. Even if the other party is, you know for sure, you're leaving the masjid now, and you know for sure that man, his car is blocking my car, 100%. His car, there's no argument and debate about it. He's wrong, I'm right. But the important thing for us is to be able to restrain and control ourselves. The Prophet said, لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالسُّرْعَةِ. The strong person is not that person who's able to wrestle down the other person. That's not a strong person. إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْخَدَبِ. A strong person is that person who is able to control himself at the time of anger. At the time when he's angry. Husband and wife relationships, many a times people come and say, hey, I gave my wife those 3 divorces, I was angry. Well, it's too late, the damage is done. It's too late, you cannot now fix it up. No matter how much of remorse, no matter how much of grief you have, damages that are caused when you react at the time of anger become very, very difficult and sometimes impossible to actually fix up. So that's one, just a few minutes I wanted to share this lesson. Inshallah, we should try to control our anger, maintain lots of calm, and inshallah, the prophetic guidance with regards to that situation is when you're in such a situation, then move away. Don't ever react. Somebody is provoking you. You're in a situation. You rather move away. Prophet ﷺ said, make wudu. Prophet ﷺ said, sit down, think about it, reflect. If you need a response, then think about a very adequate and appropriate response, but never ever react in a situation immediately, especially if it's something that is angering you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability of putting into practice. Wa akhru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.